All right, I'm going to pray. Lord, it's been good this morning. It's been good. So many good words, and the little children, the music, accent on comfort, and the fathers, just wonderful. I thank you for it. We all thank you for it, Lord. Praise your name. Oh God, what can I say? Help us this morning to understand what you're saying in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start, Lloyd, with Matthew. Chapter 28 and verse 25. My mind serves. I didn't know there's that many chapters in Matthew. It's something I hear the Lord saying to us this morning. It's chapter 11. Starting with verse 20, it looks like, oh man, they could have made these numbers smaller, I think. They really worked at it. And by the way, someone said this morning, our Father and our God. That's a verse in John. It's about the second to last chapter around in there. And Jesus said to the disciples that were with him, I go to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Well, you say big deal. Well, it is a big deal because, and I don't want to come across as arguing or a theologian or any of these terrible things. I don't want that. Get it out of your mind. I'm trying to say something that will help you know the Father. Okay? Yeah. The Father, the doctrine of the Trinity, the Word, is not in the Bible. But there is a word in the Bible that says much the same thing and is helpful. It's the Godhead. The Godhead. And the Godhead we know is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Somehow, the word Trinity represents some kind of a inscrutable something up there that we cannot relate to. And I've been taken to task more than once of people who said, you're trying to be God. And yet, if you'll remember, when they brought that up to Jesus and said, you're trying to be God, he quoted to them from Psalms. It says, you are all children of the Most High. And again, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, it says that we are partakers of the divine nature. But the passages that I think are the holiest in the Bible and the most amazing, and I don't think have ever been fully developed in Christian thinking, is John 17, verses 21 through 23. And in there, Jesus said as clear as anything ever was stated, that we are to become one with him as he is one with the Father. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, now stop and think. Stop and think. If we are one with Jesus as he is one with the Father, then, fasten your seatbelts, we have become one with the Godhead. I mean, you say, but how can that be? Through marriage, our life is the blood of Jesus. Our I'm talking about now when we are resurrected, what we're working toward. His law is written in our mind. His law is written in our heart. And according to John 6, our true food is his body and blood. And after Peter has said we are partakers of the divine nature. And I go to my God and your God and my Father and your Father. It says that in John. You can trust me on that. It says that. He said that to his disciples. So the true picture, I think, is that God, some of the old scholars called him the lonely God, because he's kind of by himself. But you know what he's doing, people? He's creating a family. We are born from the seed of God. Yeah? Greek is sperm. We're born from the seed of God. And if anything can make us be, I don't like to use the word divine because in a cultural sense that's not very acceptable. But if anything could make us more God, it's the fact that we are born of God. And you all know that when a seed germinates and comes forth, by, you know, do you know the mysteries of God surround us at every turn? Not only the caterpillar and the butterfly, which I think is marvelous. What a picture of the resurrection. But us, you just take a seed, whether it's from an oak tree or from a rose bush or from a geranium or whatever it is, or from a human. What in some inscrutable, impossible to understand manner, that seed, when it germinates and then begins to grow to maturity, is exactly the same as the parent. An oak tree does not grow into a rose bush. What does it grow into?
Oak tree.
An oak tree. And you can't figure it out. How does it do that? How does a human egg, when it's fertilized, grow into a person? It doesn't grow into an animal. It grows into a person. The same biological class as the parent. Is that true? Well, because we were born of the seed of God, and that is plain enough in the scripture, then our future is to be like our Father in every way except authority and size. There are attributes of God that even Jesus doesn't share, like his size and his authority. The reason Jesus has so much authority, the Bible plainly says that God gave it to him. Because he did, we can pray to him and call him Lord. Not because of anything except that God said, "This is my son. I'm giving him dominion over all my creatures." God gave him the right to be called Lord. No other reason. So based on that, I think you will agree. And I am saying this, people, and I'll get to a more practical consideration about the Father. Not to prove a theologic fact. I don't care, you know, whether school keeps when it comes to theology. But I do care about what is happening to people. You know, a person can be absolutely right in their theology and be a devil. And the Pharisees were absolutely right in their theology, but they murdered God's son. So correct theology is not the desideratum that we're seeking or that I'm trying to instill in you or present to you. It is the reality of a person called the Father. And see, we don't know much about the Father because the church, first it was all Jesus, then it moved in Pentecost to the Holy Spirit. But now we're coming to the place where we will know the Father. He's a different person, and I like what Tony said. It couldn't be said better. He's holy beyond all holiness. He's loving beyond all love, but he is not Jesus. Now you say, but why did Jesus come? You tell me why he came.
Bring us to the Father.
To bring us to the Father. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth of the Father. And I am the life of the Father. No man comes to the Father except through me. So, and of course, the clearest of all Bible statements showing the difference between Jesus and the Father is Gethsemane, where he cried out and he said, Father, if it be willing, if you be willing, let this cup pass from me. And then the most famous words in the Bible, but not my will be done, your will be done. No, you see, that's two persons there. There's no way out of it. It's two persons. To say that Jesus was preaching to himself is madness and folly. Imagine Jesus praying to himself, hey, me up there, I don't want to drink this cup, but if me wants to, then me will do it. I mean, it's foolishness. You know what it is? It's religion. And religion will always kill Jesus. Always. When he appears in the two witnesses, what happens? He's put to death. And until the Father says to him, it's time, son, for you to take the kingdom of the world, until that day, Jesus will always be crucified by church people. I don't know what there is about religious people, but somehow they freeze on whether it's pride or whether it's Satan or what it is, I don't know. But when Jesus appears, they'll kill him. And so that's my purpose in talking to you, because we are moving toward what our brother Fullerton, the Assembly of God presbyter that we admired so much, first man I ever heard preach the rest of God, old Brother Fullerton. And he, what was I going to say? You better pray, I'm getting blocked. Now, I'll tell you, it'll come to me. Jesus was the Word of God in the beginning. And we don't know what he looked like, what he was like. He was not a person. He was a person, but not a human. He was the what came forth from God himself, the Word. You cannot express it more clearly than that. He was the Word of the Most High God. And through him, and you'll find this in Hebrews in the first chapter, through him, God created all things. Jesus did not do that by himself. Hebrews says, it was the, ground here that the people are listening. They'll say, we always know it, the guy's a heretic. All right, in Hebrews, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. It says God did this. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Now that isn't God saying me in another form, which is the doctrine of the Trinity. It's a God the Father is a person distinct from the person of Jesus, although they are one in the Spirit, and we are being made one into that same Spirit, John 17, 21 through 23. We are being married into that oneness. Pardon me if I get kind of excited, because when I think of what this means to God's people, and God will see that it spreads throughout His Word, His world. He knows what He's doing. The Father is proud of His Son. The Father's heart was broken when His Son was crucified. The Father gave His Son. God so loved the world. There is a God there, as Tony pointed out to us. But in these last days, it is spoken to us by His Son, whom He, God, appointed heir of all things. He did not appoint Himself in another form, unless you want to say Tony's son is in the same form as he is. See, that's perfectly true. But an heir, you know, he's an heir through whom God, through Jesus, made the universe. This is Hebrews chapter 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. And the, now look at this, Tony, verse 3, the exact representation of His being. See how they're different? That's when Jesus, that's how Jesus could say, He that has seen me has seen the Father's. Now, theologians, not having the Spirit of God, say that means that Jesus is the Father. No, it means He is the exact representation of the Father. And maybe 10,000 years from now, you and I will be able to say, He that has seen me has seen Jesus. And that wouldn't mean we were Jesus. It would mean He has made us the exact representation of His being. That's what it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Does that make sense, Tony? You see that? I'm going somewhere with this. All right. And sustaining all things by His, the Father's. Wait a minute. No, that's Jesus. Yeah, because it goes on after He had provided purification for sins. All right, now let's go back to Matthew 11. And this is a passage I don't want you to ever forget until you join June Josephson and Duetta's father. Look, verse 27 of Matthew 11. All things have been committed to me by my Father. Now, my thesis is that the Father and Jesus are not the same person. That's my thesis that I'm presenting to you. And these are supporting scriptures. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Do you remember in the second Psalm, the Word changed to a human being in the second Psalm? It wasn't manifest until Mary and Joseph went up to be taxed. But the father said, "You are my son. This day have I begotten you." See, because the way God works, He calls those things which are not as though they are. before they come into being, he says, like it's present tense, when it's really future. And so he said, you are my son, this day I have begotten you, referring to hundreds of years later when Jesus was born of Mary. Thou art my son. At that moment, the Word was made flesh, and you and I are the flesh being made the Word. Just think about how God takes that caterpillar and instead of creating a butterfly, creates the caterpillar a butterfly. Can you see the difference? Huh? See that difference? You're not going to be left somewhere. You're going to be resurrected. You're going to be transformed. You're being transformed. You are born a second time of divinity. Amen. And that which is divine brings forth that which is divine. Amen. I know this is new to some of you, and some of you look like, what's this guy trying to pull over here? But that's all right. For the Christian age, the whole 2,000 years from the resurrection, anybody that said what I'm saying now would be regarded as a heretic. And yet I'm only talking the Bible. Huh? Now look at this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know what the rest is? It's the Father. And in Hebrews 4, it talks about entering the rest. Because Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly and humble in heart. I'm not a big shot, you know, trying to impress anybody. I'm clothed in burlap. Oh, it all ties together. My yoke is easy. All right, now we're going to... I said all this so far to this point, except for one purpose, and that is to, as Brother Fullerton used to say, introduce you to the Father. Now, I'll tell you how my prayer life has gone, and your prayer life can go the same way. It may sound strange to you, but it's very, very practical. I'm very weak from this loss of equilibrium. I can hardly hobble across the room. And my granddaughters, one of them said the other day, don't move so fast, Grant. You'll fall down, which is true. And so that has caused me to come to know the Father. And I'll tell you how. When Jesus tells me to do something like it's time to eat, it's time to work on your computer, time to go to bed, this and that, if anything involves getting up and getting out of bed, I don't have the strength to do it. I just don't have the strength to do it. Yeah, I could roll over on my side and kind of hobble up and get into the wheelchair, but I just don't have strength anymore. And this is what I do. Several times a day, I say, Father, your son has commanded me to do so and so. I need energy and wisdom. Here it comes. That's how I live. On the energy and wisdom of the Father, not Jesus, the Father. Jesus tells me what to do. But the Father enables me to do it. And that's why they're so clear in my mind. You know, they're not the same person at all. I don't say, now Jesus, help me do it. That probably will stun you. But fortunately, you're not a cripple like I am, or Mike has been. But you can do it anyway. It's a good way. And my granddaughters are learning to do that. They're being taught at home to do that. When you want to do something, ask God for help. After all, the prayer is, Father, in Jesus' name. In other words, Father, I'm not coming to you on any righteousness of my own, of any standing of my own. I'm coming to you in Jesus' name, as though it were your Son. Hey, Father, in Jesus' name. And that's how he taught us to pray. And he answers that prayer. So the next time you need something and you feel that you can't do it, see, with me, that's just about everything. But you, it won't be. Keep on, as I've been telling you for about 2 years, keep on talking to God. Learn to think as Jesus is thinking. Learn to speak as Jesus is speaking. Learn to act as Jesus is acting. And those three things he does from the Father. Now, that is the normal Christian life. And we overcome, and that gives us a testimony, our behavior, by thinking, speaking, and acting, along with Jesus, is the testimony that overcomes the accuser. Not our saying, we have a great church and a great Bible school. That isn't the testimony that overcomes the accuser. It's the Word of God. See, and you and I are the flesh being made the Word. It's going to take time, but it's not going to leave a caterpillar in the cocoon. All that you are and the foolish things you and I do, craziness. Of course, you've never done any crazy things, but I have. All of these will become Christ. See, the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. That's much better than saying, now we've got two things in the cocoon. We've got a caterpillar and we've got a butterfly. Let the caterpillar be crucified, because the butterfly is what God wants. No. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He, not Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's what it says. And it's speaking of reconciliation to God, because the Adamic man can never be reconciled to God, only Christ. And so it says in Ephesians 3, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And all people who are willing to suffer that transformation become into the bosom of the Father, into the center of what he is, the center of his will, the center of his person, and, Tony, the most important, the center of his love. See, that's where it's all about. God is love. God is love. Not the kind of thing we say when we're Christians, you know, we love everybody. And that's fine. That's better than saying, I hate you. But you find when you get in the closing chapters of the book of 1 John, it's love, 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 love. And there's nothing wrong with human love. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the way we're made. But the love of God is very superior to everything. You know, it never fades. It's eternal. It's different. But that's where we're headed. And we live that through Christ. Now, I pointed you toward Revelation chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And I preached this in the church before, but it was so long ago, I'll bet you the people have forgotten it. But I did preach it before. I don't remember whether it was in this building or not. That I don't remember. But I do remember preaching it. To me, it's Good food, good food. Revelation 10, 11 should be one chapter. Revelation 10 and 11 should be one chapter. What it's talking about is what is happening now. The angel represents what God is doing among his people today. You know, we think, oh, when the two witnesses come, they'll spring up like dandelions in New York. No, you won't even know that it happened. Only the witness will know, and he may not be sure. See, it's not going to be a church-wide revival like, what is it, Stay All Day? Let's see. How's that go, Audrey? Something Brother Dow used to say that all the time. Oh, meeting all day and all get to stay. Yeah, I like that, meeting all day and all get to stay. So it won't be that kind of thing, like a tent revival. It won't be that. It will be in Indonesia and in Israel and in Germany. There'll be some people that God will begin to talk to. And it can be you. There's nothing that says it can't be you unless you're more interested in our culture. And you flip around with every new electronic game on the market. But it can be you. I want to accent that, and to the people that are listening on internet, it can be you. Don't say, oh, I'm not worthy and I'm only a poor, you know, whatever, I'm rich and the Lord spoke against that. He'll never deal with me. He will deal with you if you will be dealt with. It's your faith in God. He loves you just as much as he loves the Apostle Paul. And it's up to you. I don't care how young you are. And I certainly don't care what nationality you are. You. God has made of one blood all nations to dwell on all the face of the earth. It's you that God is interested in. Will you look up and see him, or will you continue with your daily drudgery, which basically is has to do with money? All right. Then I saw another angel. I had a laugh. A man just wrote a book on angels. He's got wings on the front page. I don't think any angel has wings. I guess the cherubim do, but I don't think angels have wings. Maybe they do. But this one is characterized by strength. And that means, while the world goes to hell in a handbasket, there's going to be people who resist it. They resist the sex lust. They resist the money lust. They resist the desire to be superior to everybody, politicians. They're strong. And if you say you're weak, you're just confessing your own destruction. God is not interested in the weak. Well, he's interested. He loves them. But to get the job done, this is leading up to the kingdom of God. This is leading up to the two witnesses. A mighty angel coming down from heaven. He does not originate in the earth. He's not some super evangelist. He is robed in a cloud. Again, speaking of the heavens. And look at this word, with a rainbow above his head. What does that mean?
The throne of God.
Yes. He represents God, the Father. The rainbow is a sign of his throne. That's why I'm telling you, it's a day to get acquainted with your Father. I go to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. What more do we want? He's your Father. He begat you with the word of truth. Jesus didn't begat you with the word of truth. The Father did. Amen. Patty, you look absolutely stunned. I'm coming into something she's never heard before. She's wondering, is this guy really a heretic? I always thought he was, now I know it. That rainbow, people, is very characteristic of the two witnesses, because they're not bearing witness of the church. They're not bearing witness of any half a dozen things that are borne witness to. They're bearing witness of the kingdom of God. See, this is the day to preach the kingdom. This is the day when it's shifting from going to heaven to the kingdom of God. Most important, that's why I felt so bad about this young lady that was dying in Oregon with the, fortunately, after scraping in her so close to the nerves that control her left hand, they had her keep opening and closing her left hand to make sure they didn't hit that nerve. And she is one unhappy girl. But the word that I got this morning was, the MRI showed no cancer, thank God. Whew! His face was like the sun. What is that talking about? See, all these things, the angel is telling you, what the angel is telling you what God wants in these days. What is the face like the sun? What does that tell us?
It's the face of God.
Face of God. Well, yes. But it's something that God's very concerned about.
His glory. Holiness.
Righteous behavior. Righteous behavior. And his legs were like fiery pillars. What does that tell us?
Judgment.
Well, yeah. It's strength. Any athlete will tell you the power comes from your legs, whether it's boxing or golf or what it is, like boxing, it comes from your legs. I'm telling you, strength. Sarah Ann's got to think about that now. He was holding a little scroll. What does that mean? What?
I said that he was really big because he was holding a little scroll.
I see comparison. He was holding a little scroll because the days that come in Christianity for the first time are going to be marked by deeds rather than by words.
Can you say that again?
Unlike the prior centuries of Christianity, unlike that,
yes.
What is going to be happening now is marked more by miraculous deeds than by words. It's not a time for theology, it's a time for action.
And that's why it was a little scroll.
Okay. Right? It's a little scroll. He didn't hand him, you know, two or three volumes. A little scroll. That's all it takes. But notice something here. He was, which lay open in his hand. What does that mean? If you want to read it, you can. It's open.
Yeah.
Scrolls are usually closed. You have to open them like this. No, it's already there for you to read. But you have to do more than read it. Okay. Oh, that's my place. Which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. What does that tell us? This work of God is going to cover the whole earth. Which is three quarters water, you know. All right. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. Doesn't that get you? Every time anybody speaks in heaven, it's a shout. They don't whisper up there. They shout, Marla. Yeah, they do. They want you to get the word and not miss it. Like the roar of a lion. Lion. And he roars like that, it's because he's hungry. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. Now, I've traced this back, and what I recall to my mind, this is associated with self-will. Up to this time, see, the seven thunders are perfect power. They represent perfect power. You can check it out in Psalms. But The reason the churches lack power, the miraculous power, the presence of Christ, is because we are all self-centered. See, we are feathering our own nest. We are not, someone was saying, we need, this morning, someone was saying, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to be looking at Jesus, not at ourselves, but looking at Jesus. Imagine if all the Christian churches in the world did that. What a revival there would be. But no, we're interested in our church and our congregation and our offering and the church, whatever it needs, painting and all. And that's the way we do our church stuff. But the seven thunders, see, they're concealed here. They're not allowed to speak. And they won't speak until people are living by Christ. Then you get, like Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater. That's what he said, John 14. The works that I do, you shall do. What would that mean? It would mean calling a whole cemetery to life. That's God's idea of a greater work. That's going to take the power of the seven thunders. All right, let's see what else he says. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. So that remains a mystery until we get to the two witnesses. Then, want to scroll down on the monitor, then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth that is all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, now this is tremendously important. There will be no more delay. See, for 2,000 years, we've been reading the promises of God, but we haven't seen them. We haven't seen his mighty power sweep the earth, but we're going to see it. We're going to see it. But when we get down, we won't this morning, when we get down to the 11th chapter, you'll find that the outer court is given to the Gentiles. That means that, I'm not making clear, the prophetic week is 7 years. And the Bible talks of so many 42 months. That's a half of 7 years. And the Bible talks about so many days. That's half of 7 years. The prophetic week is divided into two halves. The first half will be revival, such as the world has never seen. And you can be a channel if you want to set aside your life for God's work. But if you want to go in your customary way and never change, you'll just read about it on television. Because it will be in burlap. It will not be big ministers driving Rolls Royces. It won't be like that. It'll be just ordinary people. People in Indonesia riding bicycles. Very common people that come out of the woodwork and go back in the woodwork. And if that doesn't impress you, you're not a candidate for the two witnesses. The two witnesses are Christ formed in us, and then us. That's two witnesses. Ourselves and Christ. Like John 8, that I've taught you about. John 8, where the Father and the Son were two witnesses. So it was legal, what he was doing. But look at this word, there shall be delay no longer. Think of it, think of it. All the Christian people have hoped for and prayed for and talked about for 2,000 years is going to come to pass at the closing days of the church age. But you'll find one other thing. You'll find that he says, judge the temple of God and judge the altar of worship. That's inside the tabernacle. But the outer court, leave out. It's given to the Gentiles and they trample it down, which means that there'll be a lot of the world, just like it is today, where the world is trampling down the gospel exactly like today, where little by little the doctrine I saw today on my right-wing paper that there's a principal of a public school that, unknown to the parents, is recruiting children for a gay club. That is going on right now. So that's just one small symptom of what's going on. And it's going to get worse, of course. While the two witnesses are witnessing, that's people all over the world with Christ in them who are thinking with Jesus and talking with Jesus and acting what they see Jesus do, who in turn is acting what he sees the Father do. While that's going on, the world will be trampling on the church, the outer court, and despising the gospel and all that they're doing today. That's where we are, people. And then it says, there shall be delay no longer, but in the days of the seventh angel, the mystery, where is that? Yeah. There'll be no what that day. The mystery of God will be accomplished. How many know what Colossians 1:27 says? How many know? I think, if I remember, it says the mystery of the gospel, which is
Christ in you,
the hope of glory. And this last day revival will be all based on the fact that the church has brought forth Christ in those people that were obedient and serve God. So we're looking for people who give their lives over, and it can be you who give your life over to Jesus, to pray and talk to him all the time until you're completely Christ-centered. That doesn't mean you don't do a good work on your job. If you don't, God will be displeased with you. We have to do well what we do, whether it's a homemaker or a physicist. We have to do well what we do to please the Lord. But you can do that and at the same time be talking to Jesus, praying to Jesus all the time until you're thinking along with him and speaking and all. That is what makes you a candidate for the two witnesses and for the seven thunders. Are there any other questions or any questions? Oh, boy, the expression on some faces is priceless. Okay, are you with it?
Yeah.
All right, you don't think I'm the biggest heretic in town? A lot of people do. All right, God bless. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, washed in the Spirit, filled with, joined air with Jesus as I travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Shall we all stand? If by any remote chance I stirred up something in you and you want to go to the altar, now's the time. Of course, if you're sitting in glue, you won't be able to move. I understand that. But if you need and say, oh boy, you know what he said? I'm not living a life like that. I don't, what's he talking about? You better come up and ask God about it, because this is serious business. Father in heaven, we have not known you. We have a doctrine which rules you out as being different, somehow you and Jesus are the same, which means we don't know either one of you. Now, Lord, I pray that those who within the sound of my voice will be introduced to the Father and see that he is not Jesus. He is the Father of Jesus. He is the God of Jesus, which does not in any manner take away from the Godhead of Jesus, the divinity, the supreme power, or anything at all take away. He is our Lord. Jesus is our Lord.
Amen.
But he came to earth to be the way to the Father. And that's where the rest is that we're going to need in these times of terror and tribulation. We're going to need that rest that God is watching over us, and you're the one that can bring us into the bosom of the Father. So, Lord, we love you. We know that we, too, are children of God and your brothers and sisters, and someday we'll be a lot more like you than we are now. But we love you, Lord, and we appreciate your making an atonement for us so we could come to our Father. Oh, God, be real to everyone within the sound of my voice. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Filled with the Spirit, washed in His blood, joined heir with Jesus as I travel the sod. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Now enjoy yourself. You can leave. You can visit. You can do whatever you want. You can still come to the altar if you want to. It's up to you. Hal, is your hip okay?